So hopefully we've started the, we're welcoming our friends that are joining us through our stream. And we, just as a reminder, we never begin the live stream until the message starts. We don't record our worship. The testimonies that are given, the prayer requests that are made, those are in-house, and those are for us that are here. But we know that our friends that are unable to join us really appreciate the opportunity to be able to join us at this moment. And so our live stream has begun with them here with us as well. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at relationship, and I wanted to just kind of begin this time by first and foremost letting you know that some things have been happening in our extended ministry overseas. If you've been coming to the church for any amount of time, meaning like 5, 6, 7 years, you may have had an opportunity to meet a good friend of ours. His name is Lazaro Kiriyama. And Lazaro, about 2 weeks ago, passed away and went on to be with the Lord. He is the president and head administrator of Kilimanjaro Christian College. We prayed for his family when we heard the news, and we passed things around. But I just wanted to let you know that we continue to pray for that ministry. His wife is an amazing administrator. She has her name is Ellie, and she has a great heart for the people of Tanzania, more specifically their area in Moshi. They're in a town just outside of where we go and stay, but Dan Larkin was the one who took me on that first trip. I think it was almost like 8 years ago now. It's unbelievable that it's been that long, but we've just had a tremendous relationship with that family. And so I just wanted to let you know that we're continuing to support them. We're continuing to see where the Lord is going to direct this relationship. But Kilimanjaro Christian College could really use our prayers. I mean, Lazaro was the heart and the direction of where the school was going, and he was the one who made connections with professors. He was our main contact that we had there. And so as they're making those times of transition, we just need to be lifting them up and praying for them. And it's an honor to be able to just see what the Lord is going to do in the future with Kilimanjaro Christian College. And we've had a number of people from our congregation go and see what's going on there. So we want to continue to pray for that ministry. There's also some things that are coming up with our extended missionaries. We've been making some changes and having some conversation about where we're going to go and how we're going to move forward with our missionaries. And we have a board meeting tomorrow night. And so if you could just be in prayer with our board, we're getting together to talk about the building, of course, but we also have some things that we're going to be looking at when it comes to missions and what we do as a congregation with our missions fund. We love the missions work, and so we do everything that we can to be led by the Lord and do what he's directed us to do with the funds that he blesses us with to bless the nations. And so if you could be praying for those things, that would be fantastic. But in that, it's all based on relationship. Sometimes people say, well, how do we get the missionaries that we have? A lot of the missionaries are personal connections. Some of them Alexa and I have been connected with since Elam days. Others, which she and I graduated in the 1900s. That's amazing, right? But I won't. So, but with that relationship, often what happens is there's a connection that we're able to make, and somebody says, "Hey, we're beginning this ministry, and we're wondering if you would like to be a part of it." And we do that. We get connected with them. That's how we got connected with our missions family that's in China, that's doing incredible work. That's how we got connected with our missions group that's in Kazakhstan. We just have a heart for that. It's all based on relationship. And so when we look at these things and saying, how are we going to continue to reach out into the nations, it all starts with that basic element. And this morning, what I want you to see is as we start paving this beautiful foundation of how we can be in relationship with each other, it must begin with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're struggling in your relationships in the physical and in the natural, I wonder how your relationship in the spiritual is. I wonder what kind of relationship you're having with the Lord. My grandfather used to say when he often spoke on the parable of the seed. No matter what message my grandfather was starting, his intro would begin with the parable of the seed. Of the sower came to sow, and some fell on rocky ground, some fell on good soil, some fell on the path, and 80% of his messages would start that way. And then eventually in that message, you would hear this term as he's making his point, as he's getting ready to really drive home what the Lord is looking for. Here's a phrase that was very common for my grandfather. He would say, "And God is taking us from glory to glory." And there was a season in my life where I would look at that and I would say, what does that phrase mean? Glory to glory. And it obviously meant something powerful to my grandfather, because it was just about every message would go from that level of saying he is bringing us from glory to glory. And he would also say this, that deep is calling unto deep. And I'm thinking, what are these connections that are being made? And in reality, what's taking place is our relationship with God is something that can only be defined through spiritual interaction with Him. I would also say devotion. And so we're looking at relationship, and over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about these things. And last Sunday, I shared with you concerning the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is not something that we can come to rest with. We can't finally say, now I know everything about God. The knowledge of God is only a journey that we embark on for the rest of our lives. We are seeking wisdom from God. We're seeking knowledge from God. And this element of our relationship with God is extremely pivotal. We must look for a strong relationship with God that is a two-way street. Any of the relationships that you're in that have any value, they have communication, and you're back and forth with it. Something that I recognize is that if you're in some type of relationship that's you pouring into constantly and not getting much feedback on, there's two ways that relationship can go. One, it can be successful because the Lord has called you into that relationship. How many of you know not everybody can be in this two-way relationship? Sometimes there's certain people, whether it's certain personalities or certain things that people are going through, and they can only at that point in their relationship receive. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They can only receive. And we look at that, and we look at that as ministry, and we say, what I'm going to do for this season, what I'm going to do for this time, is God, give me the strength to pour in, because I know that I won't be receiving anything back. And that's a way that a relationship can succeed, is that if you understand that that's what you are doing. Another way that a relationship succeeds is when it is a two-way street. You're building each other up. You're encouraging one another. You're able to have wonderful conversations together. You're on a similar plane together. You're on the same elevator going to the same floor. I was thinking this through. I was riding an elevator with my wife not too long ago, and she's susceptible to this. When the door opens, she just gets off. It doesn't matter if we're on the floor that she's trying to get to. She just walks right off the elevator. And so, it's happened to her a couple times. And that's not a flaw. That's just, hey, we're in an empty hotel. And it's the last 4 days, it's gone straight to the lobby. So when the doors open, off we go. How many times can you see that we're getting into relationships and we're saying, I'm getting off at different places, or I'm traveling in different, I'm not on the same level, I'm not going where you're going. And I believe that a relationship that is extremely successful in the spirit is one where you're traveling together. And so maybe in the elevator, Alexa and I are getting off on wrong places, but in our relationship with the Lord, We're riding all together, all the way. I'm with her. She's with me. We challenge each other. We speak into each other's lives. I get blessed when I hear what the Lord is doing in her life. And it's a blessing to be able to be on that same relationship. And that's how a relationship can be successful. And so these two things is sometimes somebody's pouring into, but other times you're in this give and take, not take so much as give and receive. And Bob Sorge wrote a book called Unrelenting Prayer, and he makes this analogy with God, that there's this relationship that's happening. And here's the place that he comes to. Is Bob, he refers to the Holy Spirit as promise. Not a promise, not the, he just says promise. And when he's referring to him in his book, An Unrelenting Prayer, he just says, when promise comes, and then he continues, or promise is here. Why? Because in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, Jesus basically gave this permission in these circumstances. Look at what the parable of the persistent widow that is shared with us in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Can I read that verse to you one more time? Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1, reading from the English Standard Version. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. We could park there for the next couple of weeks. Always to pray. Is there another phrase that you're familiar with? Maybe King James? Pray without ceasing, right? Is that we need to constantly be in prayer. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Verse 2, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night and night and day? Let prayers come before the throne of God. Let us go into a relationship with him. He says, who cry to him day and night, will he delay long over them? Jesus said this in verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So what is our part of this relationship? And we see that what is happening is that Jesus is giving a story and an illustration of this widow who just comes to this ungodly judge who is just finally sick and tired of hearing from her complaint. But then he says, but God, being righteous, hears your prayers. We are to come to him constantly, coming before him. Our relationships on earth are often through either a mutual job or some kind of cultural draw or family connection. These relationships also have some benefit to us or to the other person. If the benefit is mutual, the relationship can survive for a long time. If the benefit is one-sided, the relationship will rarely survive conflict, troubles. Our relationship with Jesus is the only one-sided relationship that can have true success. And why do I say that? Because Jesus did everything on our behalf for us in advance. We have nothing that we can offer him that he needs. Jesus doesn't need anything from us. It is truly the perfect example of a one-sided relationship that turns out to be mutually beneficial. Jesus' desire is that all people would come to him, and our desire becomes one to worship him. I've been reading a book by a man by the name of Dallas Willard, and what he's talking about is the transformed heart. And a transformed heart is one that used to be in one condition and then becomes another. And that might sound basic, but oftentimes in our Christian walk, we tend to plateau at some point, and we stop this growth, and we say, well, what I've done is I've achieved this, or I've gotten this, or I know now that I'm going to heaven. But that is not the sole purpose of our relationship with our Creator. We are to enter into this relationship that is of worship and dedication. Our relationship with Jesus is not only one-sided, but his love for us is unending. Paul says it this way. He says, while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. Oftentimes people think that they have to get their lives figured out. They have to get everything together before they can come and be a part of the body of Christ. Nothing could be further from the truth. As a Christian and a pastor, I've heard many reasons for people leaving the faith. But here's something I never heard. I just got tired of Jesus loving me all the time. I've never heard that one. But usually there's some kind of tragedy, or there's a difficulty, there's an offense or something that's gone on. If you stop and think about it, the argument kind of lends itself to why Jesus is who he is that in our difficulty, in our hard times, that's when Jesus fills that void that's in our lives. If you find yourself this morning in a one-sided relationship, could I just encourage you to understand that as a believer, there actually is no such thing as a one-sided relationship. Love others as Christ has loved you. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, we read this from Jesus. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, oftentimes, we kind of look at that and we equate that to our military. They're laying down their lives for us, for our freedom. But I would even go to the point of saying that even the sacrifice on a freedom level does not come into the same arena as what Christ has done for us. To be fair, a person leaving the faith often references hardship. They may have felt left down by God, or they may have some kind of struggle that they're facing. But the truth is, the enemy is waiting for us to drop out of the battle. That's exactly what is taking place, is that when hardship comes, that's when the enemy looks to take down, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is that in our weakness, he comes after us. But Paul negates that in his relationship with the Lord, because he says, in my weakness, that's when I am made strong. Because now what I see is, when I come to the end of myself, maybe for some of us we would say that's when the strength of the Lord kicks in. But I believe that Paul was taking it to an even deeper level, is that he was saying this, is that in that moment I actually discover the depth, breadth, and width of God's love for me. Because I find myself in this struggle. In today's Christian economy, if I can word it that way, we are quick to say, you don't know what I have gone through. Or each circumstance is unique. And while there is a lot of truth to that, I would say that we need to look at, no matter what circumstance we're in, what the benefit of being connected to Christ has been for us. I've heard it said that somebody was, it might have even been here not too long ago when somebody was sharing a testimony, is just being able to say, in the moment when I thought that things were closing in on me, I realized that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was actually what was keeping me in the game. That I was able to survive what I was going through because of my relationship with Him. Because when we're weak, we're vulnerable. Just look in nature. It was sad. We were visiting our friends in Africa. We were in Tanzania, and it was one of our first times. I was out on a safari thing with my wife. We had never been to Tanzania, so that's one of the things you do. You go for ministry, and then you take a little bit of a breather, and you go out. And we saw something that we were like, this is where you wish that you were actually watching the National Geographic Channel, and they would cut to a commercial. Because there was a wildebeest that was calving. Do you remember that? There's a wildebeest that was calving, and there were the hyenas were off about 20 feet behind her, just waiting. And she knew it. And there we are, with our little safari hats on, our shirts, our t-shirts to say, I've been to Tanzania, you got the thing, you're all there, you're just sitting there going, can we go now? Can the tour be over? Right? But what was happening is that in nature, in that specific instance, the predator was fully aware that something weak and vulnerable was about to take place, was about to happen, was about to be right in front of them, and there would be literally nothing that anyone could do, anything could do to stop that inevitability. Let me tell you this, in the spirit, that circumstance is untrue. In the spirit, we can look at something and we say, this vulnerable thing, I'm completely exposed, I'm completely alone, I'm completely without hope. And the answer is, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not. Last week, the thing that I shared with you was that God gives us hope. He gives us a hope for a future. He sent the promise of the Holy Spirit to us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is the fulfillment of Jesus saying, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and He will be your helper. Any situation that we find ourselves in, our relationship with God is what compels us to continue on. We might be weak in the natural, but in the spirit, God makes giants. You are an overcomer. You are more than conquerors. We are victorious when we are in relationship with Him. Does that mean that trouble will not come? The answer emphatically is no. That doesn't mean that trouble won't come. Here's the thing, is that when an issue arises, when a circumstance comes against me, the test isn't always even that thing that came upon me. Here's what happens. How do I react when the circumstance presents itself? How do I react? Do I react as someone who is victorious? Do I react as someone who has a relationship? So our relationship is not on what we can do for God. Our relationship is on receiving what God has done for us. Bob Sorge, in his book that I told you about earlier, this unrelenting prayer, here's what he says. The pursuit of abiding in Christ has become my full-time vocation. Let me read that to you one more time. The pursuit of abiding in Christ has become my full-time vocation. You probably don't, some of you may not know the testimony. I'm just going to be quick with this. Is Bob Sorge was a pastor and a worship leader in a small church in Canandaigua, New York. He was going in for a procedure to have done on his throat, and there was actually a medical mistake, and his vocal cords were cut. This was 30 years ago. Pastor and a worship leader. Can't talk anymore. To this day, he's been to our church and he's spoken to us. Every word is painful. And that man said this, "The pursuit of abiding in Christ has become my full-time vocation." He didn't say that before his accident. This book was written many years after the fact. He goes on and he says this, "I'm not satisfied with preservation and favor. I will never rest until God avenges me of my adversary. But in the meantime, I see indicators of preservation and favor, and they encourage me to set straight paths for my feet." I see indicators of preservation and favor. When you are in a situation, can you look and see indicators of preservation and favor? You say, "My situation isn't gone, my hardship isn't over." And I would say this to you, do you see indicators of preservation and favor? That level of hope can only come through relationship with Jesus Christ. That level of hope can only come through an understanding of what Christ has done for us. The final area to strengthen our relationship with God that I want to look at is power through weakness. About 2 years ago, I read a book that was called Power Through Weakness. It was a very academic book. It was going through the descriptions of how we communicate with Scripture, and it was going deep into the translations. Half of the book is just quoting things that are just straight out in Greek. I don't read Greek. I took an introductory course on Greek, and when I was all done, I still didn't speak or read or know anything about Greek. It was completely introductory. But then this book is handed to me, and we have to read it and look at it. And anytime he went to a scripture, and I think this was his intention, is all of his scriptures were written in the Greek. So I'm reading through the book, and I got to look up every single verse that man wrote down, because when he would go to say it, he would write it in Greek. Needless to say, I've only have one of his books. I've never bought another one. But what it got me doing is it got me looking at it. Then I had to pull out my Greek lexicon, which everybody has those laying around. And I'm now comparing what's going on in the English and in the Greek. And one of the things that he's pointing out in this is the title of his book, is The Power Through Weakness, is that there is evidence that our weakness is more intentionally on the physical side of our creation than on our spiritual side. It's very interesting, because think of us as, if you want to just kind of reduce us down to the mammals, we are pretty helpless. I mean, we're smart enough to like build things, and we can make weapons and all this kind of stuff. But you put us out in the woods with a whole bunch of predators, and they're out there the way God made them, and we're out there the way God made us. Who do you think wins that battle? Right? So in our physical and our natural state, we are helpless creatures. But watch this. Power through weakness is this, that God has deposited something within human beings that far exceeds any other form of created thing on this planet. The Spirit of God is within those who call upon His name. Power through our weakness. Because as we are right now, there is nothing that would indicate that we are, in fact, a superior creation on this earth. What makes us superior is that we have the power of Christ dwelling within us. Without that proper thinking, even all of our knowledge and our abilities lead us to nowhere, lead us to chaos. But the power that we have is not in how we were created, but it's once we were created what God deposited within us. And we can see this through these three ways. Are you ready? The glory of Christ, the shame of the cross, and the glory through shame. I want to read those to you one more time. The glory of Christ, the shame of the cross, and the glory through shame. In your circumstance, is there a concern about shame? Research has been done that one of the things that humans fear the most is embarrassment, humiliation, or some kind of shame. That's what leads people to do a lot of the relationship negative things that are going on. They don't want to be humiliated. They don't want to be embarrassed. They can tolerate a lot, but once you start getting into that realm, people begin to act differently. But look at in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is how Paul addresses this issue, and this is what we're going to close with this morning. Corinthians, Paul, he says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's going to describe this progression of glory, which I opened up with in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Can you read that verse with me? Are you ready? But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. We have this ability now that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we no longer have to have this veil between us and what it is that we're looking at. But in the full context of what was happening, the veil that was on Moses wasn't for Moses' benefit. It was after he was spending time with God, he would come out with such a shine and a reflection of God. They would say, cover your face. We can't look at you. And so Moses would veil himself after spending time with God. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. And here it is. Here's where Grandpa Taylor got this. Being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Watch this. There was the glory of Christ. There was the shame of the cross. And there was the benefit that came from Jesus being sacrificed. It was this: the glory of Christ, the shame of the cross, and the glory through the shame. We're going from one place of glory to another. In other words, in our relationship with Him, we come into our relationship with nothing to offer, just recipients now. And then what we are, though, is we are the handiwork of God. And so what's going from one glory to another glory? The glory is that we are created in the image of God. We are image bearers. But until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is an absence that's within us. So there is, in fact, one state of being that we can look at and say, I am made in the image of God, but I do not have the Spirit of Christ within me. When I receive Jesus Christ, I now go from one glory to another. I see the shame of the cross. But then comes power into my life, not because of anything that I have done, but because what Christ has done for me. The glory of Christ, he descended from his heavenly place. He descended from the heavenlies. He was submitted to the shame of the cross. But then glory came through that shame. This would be a mathematical equation that would not be able to be worked out any other way. The glory of Christ, the shame of the cross, and the glory that comes through the shame. Let's look at verse 18 again, one more time. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Our relationship with Jesus is in fact a one-way street. Christ has done everything for us. Christ was the sacrifice. Christ was the bridge. Christ sent the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit gives us hope, wisdom. He is the promise that came from Jesus. Our relationship with Christ removes all shame. As we confess our sins to Him, we are no longer under darkness by no thing than ourselves than saying, I was wrong. And I receive the grace of Jesus Christ. I was wrong. Those who call on Jesus are free, and we are able to stand before the image of God with unveiled faces, holding the glory, beholding the glory of the Lord. If I were to be able to say four steps to this and three steps to that, The only thing that I can think of that even comes close is one step. It's just one step. Because then everything after giving your life to Jesus Christ is a result of that fact. So as a believer, how am I victorious? Through Christ. As a believer, how do I gain wisdom? Through Christ sending the Holy Spirit to me. As a believer, how do I know about God? I can only understand and know who God is through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus looked right at him and says, it is not earthly intelligence. It is not earthly. Man did not help you come to this conclusion. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can make that claim. One way. A one-way relationship. God desires for us as believers to have that kind of relationship with Him. Everything else stems from that. Are you having issues in your family? Are you having issues at work? Are you having issues with your neighbor? Fill in the blank. I can't stand here and list them all out. You know where some things are. If there's something that's going on, I would say on the cassette tape of life, get the number 2 pencil. Stick it into the left socket, spin it around, get the tape back up into the cassette, stick it back in and hit play. You were listening to that tape one time, weren't you? You're going down the highway, you're listening to everything, your favorite song comes on, and then tragedy strikes. Life is a highway. No! And that's what happens to us in the spirit, is that we're going along, we're saying, I thought that I was a Christian. I thought that I was serving God. I thought that I had all these things. I thought that from now on, there was going to be preservation and favor coming to Phil Taylor. But you see, it's a misconception. How do I react? How do I respond in that circumstance? Not that the circumstance is going to be gone, but the circumstance comes. And then now, as a redeemed believer, how do I respond to that? Let's get everything back in order. Let's go at it again. God, give me the strength. God, help me through this circumstance. God, help me to be a reflection of who you are. Father, in this circumstance that I'm in, I would love to know that somebody could look at it and say, that's how a Christian handles that circumstance. Amen? That's how somebody filled with the Spirit responds. If you could stand to your feet with me this morning, I'm going to ask Jessica if she'll come and join me on the piano. But I want to just point this out to you, is that relationships are difficult things to talk about. And over these next couple of weeks, we're going to be getting into some pretty deep things on it. But over these last 2 weeks specifically, I've wanted to begin at the ground level. The ground level is this. Where is your life with Christ? Not, I thought this was going to happen, or this isn't working out to the equation that I had all figured out in my head. But instead, it's God, in this circumstance, help me to still be a redeemed believer in Jesus Christ. Help me to be a reflection of who you are. This morning, I just want to pray that over you, that I would love to pray that none of you would ever be faced with any kind of difficulty. I would love to pray that, and I believe that we can pray like that. God, just, you know, the shield of faith and avoid those fiery darts from the enemy. I get that. That's in the Bible, and there's places for that, but I think that you would all agree that our strongest test is when some of those darts get through. And we're saying, but where is God in this circumstance? And my question to you this morning is almost the exact opposite of that. God is there. Jesus is there. Jesus went. The shame of the cross became glory through that shame, that power in the weakness. And so if that is true, then where is that seed that's in your life, taking you from glory to glory? One state of glory. I am created in the image of Christ. To, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Able to not only in certain circumstances put up that shield of faith and avoid the fiery darts of the enemy, but also in another circumstance when maybe one of those fiery darts gets through, I understand how to respond as a believer in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Father, we just go before you right now. I couldn't even begin to name all the circumstances that would be represented in this room. Father, I pray for strength to come through our weakness, the strength of the Holy Spirit. That the words that Bob Sorge even shared is that our full-time vocation would be pursuing and abiding in Christ. The pursuit of Christ and abiding in Him. This morning, I don't want you to go from here without the encouragement of knowing that the shame of the cross made it possible for us to have strength. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the easiest thing on earth to do. I'm not going to have you raise your hands. I'm not going to have you repeat after me. I'm just going to tell you what you need to do, and it's up to you. If you need to surrender your life this morning to Jesus, it is that simple. Jesus, I am a flawed sinner. I need you in my life. I confess that you are my Savior. Come into my life. I surrender to you. That is the beginning foundational level. That is that smooth foundation of how to handle the things that come up into our lives. Receiving Jesus Christ. And then once you do that, allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to move freely within you, to give you wisdom, to give you direction, to give you understanding. The Holy Spirit teaches us as we read the Word of God. Father, right now, this morning, I just pray for anyone who is contemplating giving their lives to you. Father, I pray right now that that life would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They would not delay. Right here, right now, they would surrender and give their life to you. And not because we know it or not because that we're all collectively here, but Father, you see the heart. You know where we are. And Father, right now, I am just confident somebody is giving their life to you right here, right now, in this room this morning. They're saying, I can't do this. I need that foundation. That foundation comes from relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that I know. Surrender is happening right here. And Father, we just ask in that surrender that that weakness would then turn into the strength of the Holy Spirit in their life. And we thank you and praise you for that. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.